Die groot trek saam Dopie Nina. Weksdae tussen 3 en 6.
As ek nou moet dink aan wat is die moontlik die rofste ding?
Ja.
Wat ek aan kan dink wat met my moet gebeur.
Ja.
En dit is alleen in die oseaan wees.
100%.
Jy weet nou 100 ways to die of 1000 ways to die story.
Ja.
En hoor jy van 'n ou van, hy het van 'n boot afgeval en hulle het hom eers 8 dae later gekry en sulke tipe goed. Ek sal maar net water slik en dan maar net sê, jy weet, dis nou my tyd. Ja.
Dan mis jy cool drome dan.
Maar dan kry jy ouens soos ons gas vandag, Chris Burtish. En hy, man, die ou is agter avontuur aan en sulke tipe goeders, hy love die oseaan. En hy is op die oomblik in California, want hy het 'n groot ekspedisie wat plaasvind later in Junie. Hulle wag net vir die regte tyd. Chris, how are you, sir?
Morning, Dopie en Lisa, Chris, in more Suid-Afrika.
Ja,
goeiemorgen. It's been an oomblik since ek Afrikaans gepraat het.
You still got it, I like it, but now you're sitting there in California and what's happening there, man? People are making, what is it, the Trump rallies and all kinds of stuff now.
Yeah, with protest marches and all that kind of stuff going on, it also sort of makes me feel at home because there's always so much of that in South Africa. So
you know,
it's nothing I take very much notice.
You can try and get away from South Africa, but South Africa will always follow you around, you know. Chris, so listen, true. You're an author, adventurer, ocean pioneer, and you're busy prepping and waiting for the right time for the Transcat Expedition 2025, where you'll be sailing solo and unassisted on a beach catamaran with no fixed cabin from, where is it, Dana Point in California to Hawaii.
Yeah, we're probably going to go. We've changed the location to leave from San Diego just because the angles and the bearings to leaving from the California coastline is better. So I can actually get travel south a lot quicker. So I can get out of the cold water and the cold air quicker to get, you know, 3 to 4 degrees south is 300 or 400 miles, which is about 600 to 800 miles south, which is when it actually warms up a little bit more before I get into the trades,
Chris,
makes it warmer because it's the cold that'll get you, cold and the wet.
Mm. Let's just start off. Sailing solo. Mara, why, my guy? Why?
I've been very fortunate in my life that I've gained a whole lot of very unique skill set that allows me to do things that most people think is impossible. But I just use that as a platform to be able to raise money and awareness to give back to disadvantaged kids and ocean education and people in Africa, to be able to inspire them to believe in themselves and what's possible and hopefully raise awareness on ocean education and conservation and give back wherever I can.
That's why you've decided, to take a beach catamaran with no fixed cabin to prove a little bit of a point, I guess.
Well, you know, you've got to do things that that haven't been done before. There's no point copying what everyone's done before. Otherwise, people wouldn't have climbed Everest and done lots of crazy things. But I'm just very fortunate that I can use it to be able to raise money and give back and lift other people up. And I enjoy being out in the ocean and challenging myself. And I've obviously been doing this for a long time across multiple sports, whether it's the big wave surfing side or it's the stand-up paddleboard side or wing foiling, and now it's actually going back to my roots. I mean, my father actually built the first ever beach catamaran in South Africa, and I was sailing with him and at the age of 3 years old on that catamaran from then all the way through to now. So it's sort of almost like a give back to remembering and saying thank you to my dad, who passed away about 25 years ago, of everything that I've learned and gained and the stories that I've been able to gain that have inspired so many people have all come from sailing with him from the age of 3 years old in the Western Cape, you know,
which That's is awesome. A pretty, Chris, pretty beautiful story. Chris, just paint that picture for us, because us Valleys only know like a boat that you boat that you can put on a dam, you know, and fish off. What is a beach cat?
Yeah, Dippy, that's a great question. So I think a lot of people that know the other expeditions that I've done, or whether it be surfing 60-foot waves or whether it be paddling solo across the Atlantic over 4,000 miles, 93 days, a lot of people would think that that's actually way more extreme Whereas this project, I would say, is more extreme on a couple of different levels because I'm so exposed. So this catamaran is, you know, just over 5.5 meters, 6 meters long, and it's 20 foot long, and it's 9 feet wide, and it's got a trampoline in the middle, which is about 1.5 feet above the water.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be on that catamaran for somewhere between 18 and 23 days and nights, completely alone, unsupported, in the wet. There's no shelter from the sun, from the wind, from the cold. And that's why I'm trying to get south really quickly, because it's the cold at night that'll really get you, especially when you're getting wet, because you can't get out of the elements and you can't get dry. So it's a very wet craft, and I've had to really put a lot of research and testing into how to stay warm and change out my different layers to be able to survive in that environment, not only through the night and the hypothermia, but also in the daytime with the sun exposure, which is at this time of the year probably 13 to 15 hours a day.
So that's my next question, because obviously with this only having a trampoline in the middle, there's no solid base for you to just chill on. You're going to have a wet pooper for most of this trip. But
that's 100% correct.
Where are you now putting all of your provisions, the food? What kind of preparation have you put in to make this challenge possible?
Yeah, you know, I've put in about 3 to 5 years of preparation into every single one of my expeditions. I think a lot of people don't realize the amount of planning and preparation that goes into these. And then if I find that there are certain things on the expedition that are too dangerous or risky, then I actually shelve the expedition and work on other things. So this expedition, particularly, I shelved it for about 2 years because I couldn't find a solution to one of the elements in order to survive and stay alive. So I shelved it. And then about a year later, I actually just woke up in the middle of the night, and your brain never really stops solving problems. Well, my one doesn't. I came up with a solution for it, and then it was a way to be able to move forward. So it's just really making sure that you've got all the right layers in place, making sure you've got ways to be able to keep warm or get warm once you get cold, which is very difficult when you're not able to remove yourself from the environment that's making you cold, and then also be able to change out different layers so you can dry some layers when your other layers are wet, and then focusing on the hydration and the nutrition side in order to be able to keep your body moving and keep it moving forward, even when things are wet and wild. And then that's just mostly freeze-dried foods and nuts and that kind of stuff. Hopefully I'll take a little bit of biltong along with me to keep me going. And then making sure you've got enough water and electrolytes to be able to replenish what the sun just beats out of you in the daytime. It's a lot to manage.
You're obviously very passionate about the ocean and conservation, so you've decided this entire trip, just to make it harder, will be powered solely by wind and solar energy. Is this correct?
Yeah, so it's powered by nature for nature. So it's powered by solar and wind. I have a little battery bank in one of the hulls of the cat where I store some of my gear. I don't have very much space in there. I've probably got about 30 liters of space between the two different hulls, which is literally nothing when you're taking all your communication devices, your backup communication devices, your medical equipment, your food, your water, your nutrition, your clothing, and your backup of all those systems. So, but it is for ocean conservation and education. So we actually going to be using the money raised, which will happen between now and the end of October, where I do two events, one in London and one in California as well, where we're raising money with my partner, Wild Impact. We're going to be doing that to be able to build a full circular economy classroom in Northern Kenya. We're paying for ocean education sessions in Cape Town. We're paying for ocean education sessions in Durban with the Sharka, and then with the Two Oceans Aquarium. And then we're planting over 5,000 trees as well, and paying for coral restoration in Hanuma Bay in Hawaii, where I finished. So I think a lot of people, you know, they look at the expeditions that I do and like these achievements that I do, world records or Guinness World Records, And they think it's about that, but it's actually just using these expeditions as a platform to be able to raise money and give back. And I'm very fortunate that I'm able to do that. And I'm very fortunate that the expeditions that I've done have helped hundreds of thousands of kids in Africa and mm-hmm. South Africa. We paid for thousands of operations through Operation Smile. We paid for hundreds of thousands of kids to get fed through the Lunchbox Fund. And I use these journeys just to be able to inspire people to show us what we all can do if we all have a little micro adventure of our own. It doesn't have to be crossing an ocean, but we should all go out and just push ourselves because you never know what's possible unless you try.
Chris, so you guys are hanging around and waiting for the right conditions to kind of launch, and then it'll be, like you said, 18 to maybe 23 days, depending on the weather. But when do you guys think you're going to be pushing off? And also, will there be a way that we can kind of follow your journey, or will we only hear from you when you're in Hawaii?
Great question, Dippy. Yeah, so the weather window for leaving is pretty much from like the 20th of this month right through until the 5th of July. We look for very, very, very specific conditions. Unfortunately, like everything in life, you know, if you look for the absolutely perfect conditions, you'll probably will never leave because it'll never be perfect. So you've got to try and just make sure that you just start, find the closest conditions to what you're looking for that would be ideal to start that are still safe. Yeah, we'll be hopefully, I would imagine, somewhere between the 24th and the 1st of July is when I'll be hopefully starting. The weather doesn't look like what we need in the next 2 weeks, but I've got still a lot of preparation to still get finalized before that. So, you know, with these expeditions, there's so many technical aspects and there's so many things that you are implementing that have never been used before, systems that I'm implementing which have never been created or tested before, and I'm having to create and test it myself because no one's ever done this before. So there's so many levels and layers of safety factors and backup systems and other systems that if one system fails, there's another redundancy system that I can implement, because if my electronics and what have you fail in the middle of the ocean, there's no one that's going to be able to help you or come and get you because you've out of range from any aircraft to come and support you. So you've got to make sure that you have multiple backups in place so you can still survive and get to the other side no matter what happens. And that's what I try and put so much time and attention on in order to be able to do these expeditions successfully so that we can have the impact that we want and we can help as many kids in Africa as possible.
Well, you're obviously doing it for a good cause, Chris. May it be a really safe mm-hmm. journey. May you get there in record time. I hope the winds yes. pick up and just push you off so you can cut off a few extra days. But just a word, some advice from my side. I'm no ocean person, but see if you can't get like a little ocean fender trailer key just for some extra stuff there, because that 30 liters of space, not enough, you know, just pull a little ocean fender key.
No, it would be nice to have a little blow up thing that I can tow behind. And most people would be, oh, can I come with? And you can put me in the little blow up craft and they'll tow me behind. But there's no space for that kind of thing. But people can follow the journey on the transcatexpedition.com, and I'll be live on there with a live tracker so that people can follow the journey. From the start, when we start, it'll be live that people can follow the journey and follow the updates on my social media, just on Chris Burtish, at Chris Burtish, or the transcatexpedition.com. And if people want to support or donate or get involved because they're inspired by the journey, there's a link there where they can donate and support as well. And I'm looking forward to coming back in September and doing some talks for some companies and for some schools and inspire some kids. So looking forward Fantastic. To it. And thanks very much for having me on your amazing show. So,
Chris, have a very lucky trip. Be safe. And y'all, once you're back in September and you're doing the rounds, come mm-hmm. come past, come drink a coffee and come tell us what's been happening.
Is julle nood van Kaapstad af?
Nee, ja, ons is hier ander kant die boereworsgordyn.
Good. Well, I know that the biltong's good up there.
Yeah, so we'll make sure we have good biltong when you get here.
And yeah, Chris, thanks very much, very much. And Tupi, thank you very much. And South Africa, thanks very much for all the support always. I'm looking forward to being back in hopefully a little bit more of sunny South Africa at the end of winter. I'll wait for the end of winter until I come back and visit you guys.
You guys. All right, Chris, have a good night. Cheers, bud.
Thank you.
Cheers, bye. Chris Burtish. Yeah, die ou gaan 'n verskriklike ekspedisie aanvat, maar ja, dit vat...
Hy die persoonlikheid om homself te kan besig hou op hy boot, dit help.
Nee, dit nie. A very positive outlook on life.
Dis precies wat ek sê, hy gaan homself deur dit praat.
Dink as jy enige tyd wat jy so iets aanpak, dan het jy dit definitief nodig, hoor. So,
kuier maandag tot vrydag saam, Dobie en Nina, 3 tot 6, net hier op die Groot Trek, op Groot FM 90.5.